Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Robert Nemeroff, Faster Than Light, How Your Shadow Can Do It But You Can't, is really good. Is this material taken from lectures that you've given, or you pulled it together over the years?
Well, I've always had an interest. For many, many years I had an interest, and I've actually published on some of the strange aspects in science journals, some of the strange aspects that shadows and laser spots can do when they go faster than light, because even the physics community, once they see the logic, they don't disagree with it, but they're unaware of it. So if you were to go and speak to someone you know that's versed in physics, they would say, oh, no, that can't happen. But once you explain to them the logic of how it does happen, they'll say, oh, yeah, that's kind of cool. And it is. It's really strange. It's just one of these untold stories out there that there's this whole universe of things that happen faster than light that we don't know. For instance, when you turn on a room light, the room, at first, the room is completely dark. And after a second, for sure, the room's completely illuminated. Well, the boundary between dark and light moves across the wall faster than light. So if you could see at those speeds, you would be able to see a much different universe. You would see lots of things moving faster than light all the time. And so one of the reasons why we can't do it, why we can't see it, is because our brains and minds are so slow, that was me, that it just doesn't come through. But now with modern technology, we can have rapid time-lapse photography and see these things.
You drop a lot of really cool historical facts in the book about how, you know, the understanding of the speed of light, how it developed and changed over the centuries. Maybe let's start there. I mean, tell us a little bit about, and what you cover in the book about the first folks to try to measure the speed of light. Is it Galileo, or even before that?
People have been speculating about speed of light since in most of recorded history. For instance, as you noted, Aristotle and Euclid back in the BC times, they sort of thought that what happens is light doesn't come from an object, from a star or from a light to you. Light goes from your eye to the object you're seeing. And for most of human history, that's the way humans thought it was. Every now and then someone would say, no, wait, I think it's the other way, but that was not what most people believed. And it was only around 1000 AD that it was more and more realized that no, that's not the way it is. Light actually goes from something and comes to us. And that's when, so back in the BC time, people thought, well, the speed of light must be infinite, because when your eyes are closed, you don't see something. And then when you open your eyes, then light goes out from your eyes and you can see things, even stars that are far away. Therefore, the speed of light must be effectively infinite. But once people realized that light was coming from other things into their eye, then people realized, well, maybe it's not infinite. Maybe it's got some speed. But for many years, they just couldn't measure it. It was so fast. As I like to tell my students, there's really only three numbers in conceptual astrophysics. One is infinity, which means it was really too fast or too big to measure. One is one, means that we measured it, it's one of those. And the other is zero. The third number in astrophysics is zero, because it means it's too small to measure. It might be there. We don't know what size, but it's effectively zero. So for a lot of human history, the speed of light was infinite because it was just too fast to measure. We couldn't do it. So people like Galileo, they tried to do it. They would go to mountaintops or hilltops, and then someone else would be in another hilltop, and they had lanterns, and they had black things they could put over the lanterns. And so they would make deals. So you and your hilltop, when you see me uncover my lantern, you uncover your lantern, and I'll count the amount of seconds it takes before I can see your lantern. And so Galileo did this, and other people did this, and they found out, well, it's about a second. No, it's about 2 seconds. No, it's about half a second. And they realized they weren't getting a consistent answer. And Galileo realized that, no, I just don't believe it. If it was infinitely fast, what we're really measuring is how long it takes to uncover the lanterns. We're not really measuring anything to do with the speed of light. So many efforts to measure the super fast speed of light just failed, until suddenly in the 1600s, someone who was not famous just happened to be doing something that some people didn't think would be all that interesting, and they got a result that they didn't understand. But that result was a door. That door that we went through is the finite speed of light, and that person was Ole Rømer. And Ole Rømer, what they were doing is they were just watching the moons of Jupiter. And the moons of Jupiter, particularly Io, would go behind Jupiter, go in front of Jupiter. And Rømer noticed there was just something odd about the timing of these eclipses. And the eclipses would take longer in some circumstances and shorter in other circumstances, and it just didn't seem to make sense. And so meanwhile, people were on the next hill trying to uncover lanterns, but Rømer was saying, hey, wait a minute, can you understand this? And the answer, it turns out, that Ole Rømer was actually the first to discover the finite speed of light and to measure it within a small fraction, not super accurately, but relatively accurately, like we know it today. So the discovery was just a bit of a surprise, and it advanced human knowledge in a great way by just a sort of a serendipitous result.
You write a couple of different places in the book about there being more than one speed of light. Can you explain that?
Yes. Yeah, so now we know, in modern science, we know a lot about the speed of light. And we know that the speed of light in objects, so when you look through water, the speed of light in water is not the same as the speed of light in air or in vacuum. Speed of light through air and vacuum are actually very similar. It's a very small fractional percentage difference between those. But in water, it's like a third slower. But there's different even kinds of light. We now know things about the way light works, and there's phases, and there's something called the group velocity. The group velocity is more or less how long it would take light to go from you to a mirror to bounce back. If you measure that speed, which we can now do with great accuracy, you're measuring the group velocity of light. There's also things called the phase velocity, whereas if you measure how much light is deflected, but that's not all that important, really. It's important for understanding the details of physics and how things work. But in terms of the conceptual speed of light, we now know that the speed of light in glass is different than the speed of light in water. And the speed of light in water is different than the speed of light in air, which is slightly different than the speed of light in vacuum. And the fastest that we know that anything can pass you by is the speed of light in vacuum. And so we call that the speed of light, but it really means fastest speed that we know of in terms of something that has energy and mass can go.
I understand the speed of light is not just an exercise in and of itself. I mean, it helps to understand the much bigger picture of the universe we live in and the nature of reality, right?
Yeah. So light is just a fundamental thing. It's one of the it used to dominate the universe. The photons that make up light used to have the most energy in the universe. But now the universe has evolved. The light has become less comparatively energetic, whereas mass and now something called dark energy have not diluted like light. So now light is, there's like billions of pieces of photons for every atom that we know of. But still, the amount of energy in light has gone down a lot. And so now light isn't most useful for its mass and its energy. The energy it has is most useful for what it can tell us because it's crossed the universe from far away. And so when we look at it near and far, we can try to decode what it is. Light was created someplace. Light was reflected from someplace. Light was emitted from someplace. And we piece together the universe from the light we see, pretty much.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
You have some fun exercises in the book. There's no way we can cover all of them, but one of them early in the book is an aside where the title is "Nothing Can Go Faster Than Light," which is, I think, probably the general assumption that most of us non-scientists would suggest. But you say that if you were to head into the local university and ask a random physics student if anything or if shadows could go faster than light, you're probably going to get an answer, no, nothing could go faster than light. But they'd be wrong, right?
Yes, they would be wrong. So it's an amazing thing. I've given talks and I've had, good physicists in the audience object, saying, oh, no, that can't happen. And then when I try to detail it, they don't even want to let me continue. So we get into an awkward part where I say, oh, no. But then I speak at another university that has just as prestigious scientists, and they love it. They say, oh, yeah, this is really interesting. This is really great. So, yeah, if you were to go into this experiment, you might find people there who would seem to disagree with this. But unless, what you can do is you can tell them to look up my articles, not only my articles, there are other articles, and to read this book. And it really, it makes it very clear. And it's been measured in the lab, too, that shadows and laser spots and illumination fronts, like when you turn on a light in a room, they all can move, and they do move faster than light.
And you say, you wrote that you've submitted papers to recognized physics journals and had them rejected because the editors say, oh, no, there's no way this paper is flawed because nothing can go faster than light. They're wrong.
Yes, that has happened, too. So what happens is we have editors that know. So when you send in, you do some research, you send it into a journal. So the journal, you send it in to the editor, signs an editor. Then the editor has what's called referees. You can picture there are scientists that sit around with stripes on them, and they advise the editor as to whether this piece of science writing that was submitted to the journal should be published or not. Many things submitted to journals are not published because the editor, on advice of the referee, usually says, oh, no. So we now know for some journals, some editors are clued in and they understand what we're doing and that this is correct. But if we get the wrong editor and the wrong editor submits it to the wrong referee, then we just get back a rote rejection, which we know to try to push past. We ask that editor to send to a different referee, or we ask that another editor take over. And so since we are able to publish our stuff, that is a successful tactic. But you're right. We've gotten just, back an immediate thing saying, oh, no, this can't be right, because someone hasn't thought it through. They remember some adage that says nothing can go faster than light, which is nothing can pass you faster than light. So far as we know, we don't have any examples of that. But shadows can go, laser spots can go, things can go, and these things can be very, very interesting and tell us things about the universe that we didn't know before.
Yeah, you have one experiment in the book that where you point a laser pointer at the moon, and it can go, you can whip it around, and it could go faster than the speed of light. Correct?
Yeah. So one of my favorite thought experiments, and there's a lot of conceptual thought experiments in the book, is let's say you're here on Earth, and let's say there was this big dome out one light year away. So if it's one light year away, it takes light a whole year to get there. So now you have your laser pointer. So you take your laser pointer and you point it at one spot in the dome. And even though you pointed it there, it's going to take a year for light to get there. But then in 1 second, you take your laser pointer and you shift it around to 180 degrees around to the other side of the dome. So after a year that takes light to get there, the laser spot will go all the way around that dome in a second. But that dome has a circumference greater than a light year. So that spot is moving greater than a light year in a second, which means the spot has a superluminal speed. Now, there's no information being created on the dome that's moving on the dome faster than light. The laser spot is the superposition of unrelated photons that are hitting at different places. And so that is what is appearing to move faster than light. But yes, these things, we don't have a dome out at one light year. But these thought experiments are very clear demonstrations that laser spots can move. So if you take your laser spot, maybe we don't have a dome light year away. What we do have is things that are closer. So the moon, if you just try your local wall and you take your laser pointer and you sweep it around the wall, you can't move your arm fast enough to make it go faster than light, unfortunately. But the moon is far enough away that if you take your laser pointer and you sweep it past the moon at a reasonable speed, not too fast, that laser spot, if you could see it, would move faster than light across the moon.
You have a chapter that deals with how to make a magnetic field move faster than light. So what is there a simple answer to that, a simple explanation that we would understand?
Well, that's a tough one.
But
the magnetic field lines are actually not something you can grab onto. They're conceptual lines of that have something to do with magnetism. So we draw them in, and then when the magnetism changes, you turn a magnet or something like that. Yeah, these magnetic field lines can move faster than light. That's very clear. But it's not that easy to explain. So I did go to some effort in the book to do it. But I don't know if that would work here in the in the coast-to-coast format
okay.
very well.
You know, you do touch on here and there the differences between relativity and quantum mechanics. And try as I might to get my head around it, I just can't do it. But it seems to be a lot of what quantum mechanics concludes to be real and true is at odds with what we think of as relativity. I don't know how they coexist, but they do, right?
Yeah, so they are not in, we don't always know how they interact, and we're sometimes surprised, but there is, quantum mechanics does not contradict special relativity. In fact, there are types of quantum mechanics, quantum electrodynamics, and things like that, that incorporate special relativity into them. The classic quantum mechanics, the Schrodinger equation it's called, that can be brought into conflict with the concept of special relativity. But physicists do know that special relativity is right and that it does fit into quantum mechanics. But that doesn't mean there's some really strange quantum mechanics experiments out there that it appears that information is being transferred faster than light, but it is not. When it is looked at in very detail, it's just the appearance that it is. It's not really going faster than light. And how that is just absolutely fascinating. How it seems like something on one side and something far away, they seem like they know about each other, but they're not communicating. And so if you look at the details of it, which I try to explain in some of the chapters in my book, you can see that there's no real communication going on there. There's correlation, which we don't understand why there's correlation, but there's no communication.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350 plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.